Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit Money for Agriculture, and featuring the San Elena Farmers Market this morning. And you can also stream live on KVON.com. We must start by thanking KVON for allowing us to share the stories of some of our vendors, our local luminaries, and the stewards of the farming community. We're excited to be here in this beautiful new studio. It's very high-tech and fancy, and we really are enjoying it. I am your host this morning. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp. I'm the market educator for the San Elena Farmers Market, and we're a bit more than halfway through our 33rd season, which is just amazing. The market runs every Friday, May through October, from 7:30 a.m. to noon. We're so grateful for all of our wonderful shoppers, the vendors, our donors and sponsors who support us, and the programs that we are able to offer, and for the community organizations that we are involved with and that also support us throughout the season. The market is based in Crane Park on the west side of the high school. As you come into town, you'll see the tractor signboards posted around town on Friday mornings. It's a beautiful location right next to some vineyards under the redwood trees. There's a playground for the kids. So we hope that all of today's listeners will come out and visit us on Friday mornings. This morning, I'm really excited. I have three fabulous guests in the studio with me. I'm so pleased to be sharing some of what they do with the market and how deeply they are involved in the community. First, I have Amanda Griffiths, who's the environmental resource specialist with Napa County. And I have Erin Arnstein and Ann Petland, both from Nimbus Arts. Erin is one of the hardworking staff members at Nimbus Arts who brings us fantastic studio programs to adults and kids in St. Helena, and is the guest host for the Nimbus Arts Hour at the St. Helena Farmers Market this season on third Fridays of July, August, and September. And Ann Petland, who is the assistant program manager at Nimbus Arts, a teaching artist, a working artist in and of herself, and deeply involved in Nimbus from a long time back. So we are going to start this morning with Amanda Griffiths, who is an environmental specialist with Napa County. She's a staff member at the Upper Valley Waste Management Agency, and she is here to tell the audience about how everyone can help reduce solid waste in the landfills and aid the effort to make our planet a little bit greener. She was a fabulous guest last season on the radio show as part of our, and also as part of our market lecture series, and we're thrilled to welcome her back to the Farmers Fresh Hour this year. So I'm not sure if everyone is aware of the recycling challenges that we face and the role that we all have to play in reducing our waste and handling our recyclables correctly. I'm sure Amanda will fill us in this morning. So everybody is fairly familiar with the Up Valley Disposal Service and their locations at Whitehall Lane and Clover Flat on Silverado Trail. So Amanda, can you tell us what the relationship is between the Upper Valley Disposal Service and the Upper Valley Waste Management Agency?
Sure. The Upper Valley Waste Management Agency is what's called a joint powers authority, and it was formed for the purpose of providing coordination of economical regional waste management services and meeting the requirements of the California Integrated Waste Management Act, which was the act that was going to reduce the waste currently being landfilled and keep valuable materials and resources within the economic cycle. The member jurisdictions of the agency include Yountville, St. Helena, Calistoga, and also Napa County. And the agency board oversees contracts that it holds with both Upper Valley Disposal Service and the Clover Flat Landfill. And that contract with Upper Valley Disposal Service is what allows trash and recycling services for Up Valley residents and businesses.
Got it. So, you know, it all lots of different wrap-togethers.
Yes.
So, are you based in Napa? And as an environmental resource specialist for Napa County, kind of give us a little bit of an idea of what your role is.
Sure. Yes, my office is in Napa. I'm actually in the Flood District County office, right over by Oxbow Market, and I've lived in Napa for about 4 years. For day-to-day work, I do outreach and provide support to businesses, schools, residents, and the general public on waste reduction. I also work on various public information programs and coordinate events like the Up Valley Hazardous Waste Collection events. I'm sure Up Valley residents are aware of.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So so tell the audience what towns are kind of covered by the Upper Valley Waste Management Agency.
Sure, that would be Yountville, north through Calistoga, and over to Angwin, but the agency doesn't cover the Lake Berryessa area.
Okay, and then Napa is covered by somebody else as well.
Right.
Got it. So how did you first get into this business? Have you been doing this for a long time? And give us a little bit of background on that.
Sure. I graduated from UC Santa Barbara with a Bachelor's of Science in Environmental Studies. And after that, I worked for various different nonprofits. And the most recent nonprofit I worked for before Napa County was an environmental education nonprofit called I Love a Clean San Diego. And there I worked on a recycling hotline, and we also ran an online database for San Diego County, which kind of started my interest and expertise in the recycling and waste reduction world.
So that's a lot bigger of a community than here.
Right, yes, much larger.
A lot more recycling to manage there.
Right.
So Up Valley residents have three bins are delivered to them. We'll talk a little bit later about the challenges that you and your agency face as far as our recycling habits in the blue bin, but let's kind of start with the basics. What should go into each bin, and then what happens to the contents on garbage day? Are the bins the same for the Up Valley residents as they are for those living in Napa?
Okay, the company that provides your trash collection is determined by where you live. So in the city of Napa, there's Napa Recycling and Waste Services. And in unincorporated South Napa is a very similar company, Napa County Recycling Waste Services. Lake Berryessa is mostly served by Berryessa Garbage. And American Canyon is serviced by Recology. So the items that are accepted for recycling and compost will vary depending on who's picking up your trash. So the area that I focus on is the Up Valley area. So the info today will be for the Upper Valley Disposal
right.
Service
yeah.
area.
Okay.
So I can start with what goes into your blue bin or that cart that you have at your home. So the main categories for that would be rigid plastic, glass, clean paper, and metal. And you should place all your recyclables loose into your recycling cart. And if you feel like you do want to use a bag, use a clear bag. And everything should be empty and rinsed. So some examples for you for those different items. Plastic would be CRV containers, which is like juice bottles. Let's see, bottles and jugs, different tubs of containers, food service trays, those plastic plant pots, laundry baskets, anything that's a rigid plastic. So that would be something you can't easily crush with your hand. Glass would be bottles and jars of all different colors. And then remove the lid and put that separately into your recycling. Paper would be cardboard that's broken down, box board, which would be something like cereal boxes, newspaper, magazines. You can put shredded paper in your recycling bin, just consolidate it in a clear bag. And some metal examples would be aluminum cans, tin and steel cans like soup cans, and clean aluminum foil and trays and lids from your jars.
So so you mentioned the plant pots, which
yes.
I notice generally do not have a little recycling sign on them. So I'm just curious if it's all numbers of you know that you see on the bottom of the containers, and even if they don't have a recycling symbol, if it's rigid plastic, that's still good?
Right, yeah. So my general recommendation is to focus on if it's a hard plastic, it can be recycled. The numbers get a little confusing, and that's more of the people who make the plastic communicating with each other about what it's made
Got
out of.
Got it. Got it, got it.
Right.
It's good to know.
Yes.
Because lately I've been like thinking about it more and I'm like, oh, there's not a number on here. I'm not really sure. What about the kind of the softish hard ones that plants come in generally that you can kind of, you know, crunch, but are those too soft?
I would say those would be okay. It's the soft plastics like chip bags and
right.
granola bar
plastic
wrappers
wrap
you'd want to put in the
got
trash.
It. Got it.
Right.
Okay. And then what about the yard waste bin, which is one of my favorite bins. We use it every week. It's always full.
Sure. So Up Valley, your yard waste bin is green, which Napa residents listening will know theirs is a different color. It's brown in
yeah.
the city of Napa. But Up Valley, in your yard waste bin, you can put yard trimmings, grass clippings, leaves, garden prunings, flowers, fallen fruit from trees and branches. And you want to make sure that it's a 6-inch diameter or smaller. And make sure your lid fully closes on your service day. And don't include any glass, plastic, rocks, dirt, pet waste, or painted wood in your yard waste cart.
Got it. Okay. And I think that probably people aren't aware that kitchen scraps And leftovers and, you know, the crust from your pizza can all go in there. And tell us, it's locally recycled at facilities here in the Valley?
Well, so actually, Up Valley, they do not yet have that food compost program like is available with Napa Recycling Waste Services and Napa County Recycling Waste Services. So that's a project they are currently working on. But right now, you should be putting all of your food scraps into your trash bin until changes are made to the program Up Valley.
Got it. And so, yeah, because I know that both of my kids had field trips to the Napa facility, and they, you know, showed them the process they go through, and then you can go back and buy the soil at the end, which is fantastic. So hopefully, St. Helena and Up Valley is able to implement a program like that, because I always feel like it's like, you know, it's being done locally and it's effective and doesn't have to be sent far away to be recycled. Right. So tell us a little bit about the zero waste shopping and kind of what the kind of concept of that is, seeing as we try to reduce, reuse, and recycle. But if we start out with not having the waste products in the beginning, I imagine that's probably better.
Right. Yes. So focusing on reducing and reusing should come before recycling. So one thing that I can explain before zero waste shopping is what is zero waste. So that means nothing is going to the landfill, but at the same time, there's not very much left to recycle or compost, because those are also waste streams. So there's a lot of different aspects to zero waste living, but what we're focusing on now is the zero waste grocery shopping. So if you're interested in doing that, the first thing you want to start with is taking a look at what is in your trash at the end of the week. So that's going to help you determine what you should avoid and replace when you're wanting to reduce your waste. So an example would be if you have a lot of those plastic boxes that spinach and different kinds of greens come from, when you go grocery shopping, look and see if there's a package-free alternative. So one of the key components of zero-waste grocery shopping is buying in bulk. So you can bring your own jars or reusable produce bags to the grocery store, and that'll help you avoid any wasteful packaging. So when you go to the store with your jars, you can go to the customer service desk and see if they can weigh your jars, and then they'll put a weight on the top so that when you buy your different bulk products, you aren't also paying for the weight of a heavy glass jar. And reusable produce bags that are easily findable from an online search, those typically have a weight on the tag already, so they'll be able to take that off of the weight of what you're buying.
Right.
And so a reusable produce bag would be a good way to buy bulk spinach, which I know I've seen at some grocery stores, and that just often comes in either an unrecyclable soft plastic, or it does sometimes come in that hard plastic packaging.
Right. And then I realized for our audience, I skipped through what the brown bin, the trash bin, should have.
Sure.
So maybe you could fill people in a little bit on that, and I apologize for cutting you off on that.
Oh, no, that's all right. So your brown bin Up Valley is for your trash. So that would be all of your remaining non-recyclable items. So some examples include plastic bags and wrappers, milk cartons, soy milk and chicken broth cartons are a trash item Up Valley, styrofoam, cat litter, diapers, hoses, food scraps, pizza boxes, coffee cups, and straws are some examples. So everything from your brown trash bin goes to Clover Flat landfill for disposal. And everything that's in your blue recycling bin goes to Upper Valley Disposal Services Recycling Facility south of St. Helena.
Got it. Well, hopefully people will start to employ a little bit more zero waste shopping and reduce the amount of trash that goes into the bin. I know that the recycling market right now is kind of struggling because of the... Well, various different reasons, but I understand that China was a prime buyer of recyclable goods, and I know that that's kind of been a little bit of a challenge of late, yes?
Right, yes. Yeah. So some of the reasons the recycling market is struggling is China's national sword policy, but there's also some other things that factor in. So devalued recyclable materials caused by wishful recycling. So wishful recycling is when you put a non-recyclable material in your blue bin hoping that it'll work out, but it's in fact should go in the trash.
I love that term.
Yes. And we don't currently have much domestic infrastructure for recycling processing, so that's one factor. And the low cost of virgin plastic is also affecting the recycling market, so why buy recycled plastic when the virgin plastic costs less? And there's also very frequent confusing and misleading product labeling, which kind of can cause a lot of confusion and allow people to put things in their recycling that actually should go into the trash.
Right, right, yeah, the wishful factor.
Right.
So a lot of these choices I'm becoming more and more aware of. I have a teenage daughter, and she's very conscious about these things. So despite, you know, all of our best efforts at zero waste, we always have some items that we purchase that are, you know, wasteful materials. Can you kind of share the challenges that you face with what consumers deposit in their recycling bins and some key tips for everybody who's listening?
Certainly. So right now, about 20% of what is going into recycling bins up Valley is, in fact, trash. So here's some tips that will help kind of reduce that. So make sure to only put recyclables in your recycling bin so at the end, the materials will have value. So non-recyclable items in your blue cart can result in increased sorting time and a decrease in the quality of the materials for potential markets or buyers for those products. You want to keep soft plastics out of your recycling bin. So no bread bags, wrappers, bubble wrap, chip bags, or Ziploc bags. You don't need to use a bag for your recyclables. They should be placed loose in your recycling bin. And if you feel that bags are necessary, use a clear bag. So if opaque bags are received at the recycling sorting facility, they'll be thrown out as trash because recycling facility staff will assume the opaque bag is full of trash. And all your containers should be empty and rinsed before going in your recycling bin.
Got it. And plastic bottles with the little lids, should those go back on or should those come off?
You can leave those on there so that if you put something in your recycling bin that's smaller than about the size of a Post-it, they're not able to collect it for recycling. So if you put, if it's two plastic items, like a water bottle with a lid, leave everything together and then they'll be able to recycle everything together.
Got it. Okay, fantastic. So are there outreach programs? I know that this is something that you do with the farmers market, but throughout the valley for residents and students to learn more about how they can properly recycle, engaging them in being a little bit more aware of how to reduce waste in general?
Yes, you can go online to our website. We have countyofnapa.org/recycling, and you can also go to uvds.com to find more information. We also have a business assistance program, so they can always reach out for help with waste reduction. Schools, anybody that needs help is always welcome to reach out, and we can see what we can do.
Fantastic. I know that both of my kids' elementary school was involved with a program of making the students more aware, and it really has stuck with them throughout the time. So it's really a fantastic way to start out kids at a young age being aware of this, especially these days on this planet. So so in case people missed the show today, when will you be back at the farmers market to help explain some of this to people in person?
Sure. My next day that I'll be there would be August 30th.
Fantastic. So you'll be there. People can come up. They can talk to you about it. You have a fun display that kind of shows people what they should do and where they should put things. So I'm sure that we could go on and on. I feel like we haven't covered enough, but we do have other guests. So if you want more information in person, please see Amanda at the Farmers Market on August 30th. And thank you so much. We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back. You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmers Market. You can also stream the show live at kvon.com. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp. I'm the market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. I have some fantastic guests with me in the studio today. We have just spoken with Amanda Griffiths, Environmental Resource Specialist for the County of Napa, and we have Aaron Arnstein and Ann Pentland, both from Nimbus Arts. Aaron is one of the hardworking staff members who brings a fantastic studio projects to adults and kids in the St. Helena studio, and she is the guest host for the Nimbus Arts Hour at the St. Helena Farmers Market, which is run on the third Fridays of July, August, and September this season. We're really excited. It's been fantastic. And Ann Pentland is the assistant program manager and a teaching artist at Nimbus Arts. We've just really had some fantastic information on recycling from Amanda. And then I am just really excited to welcome not one, but two, like I said, representatives from Nimbus Arts. Nimbus Arts is a community-owned nonprofit organization founded in 2005. With a mission of giving the Napa Valley community access to art. They will go on a little bit more about kind of what their mission is, and we've been really lucky, like I said, to work with them through our education program, the Market Classroom, and hosting the Nimbus Arts Hour at the St. Helena Farmers Market. We've had a really fun time. The kids got to paint with flowers in July. They had easels and canvas, and they felt very official and very artistic. The snakes soaked up the August sun on the 16th, and we learned about how the sun also warms up their cold bodies and how they need it for living. If you missed the last two, you be sure to stop by on September 20th for another really engaging art projects. And I bet adults would be welcome as well if you are good sitting in small chairs. So welcome, Aaron. It's so glad to have you. Aaron, I'm going to start with you. It has been such a pleasure, like I said, to work with you and see how engaged the kids have been with the arts programs. It is, like I said, it was really, because I do a lot of different art projects with the kids, but for them to have a piece of canvas and an easel, they were like instantly, they felt like grown-ups, and they were so excited to paint with flowers. So it was really, really fun. So can you tell us a little bit about how you became involved in the arts and how long you've been with Nimbus Arts?
Sure, definitely. Thank you. So I've always really loved art, and I've always had a deep appreciation and understanding of the importance of art education in particular. Even in like the fourth grade, I had a friend who saw me drawing a cartoon character, and she asked if I could draw her one. And I have this distinct memory of saying, no, I won't draw you one, but I will teach you how to draw your own version, so you'll know how to draw it too.
Started young.
Started very young. So yeah, I would host like drawing lessons at recess and would teach other kids how to draw. And I just learned really, really early that it's so rewarding and empowering and inspiring to experience other people who don't think they can create something. Not only create something special, but treasure what they've made because it becomes intrinsically meaningful to them because they've created it with their own mind and body. So yeah, I recognized the lasting positive effects of art really early. I went on to major in art and get a master's in education. I became a high school art teacher. I later then became an arts administrator and an art council president, running art programs with many of my local community members in Colorado.
Oh, gotcha.
And I actually just very recently moved to the Napa Valley for my husband's job as he's the new culinary farm manager at Long Meadow Ranch.
Oh, fantastic. That's right. Yep, forgot about that. Yep. Connection.
So, yeah.
Another farmer's market community connection.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I was actually a farmer with him for the past like three and a half, 4 years. So I love farming and art, and there's a lot of parallels with creative thinking.
It's probably a little easier here in Napa than in Colorado.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. So we've been here not very long, but I imagine my surprise when I went with Jess to Farmstead, the restaurant at Long Meadow Ranch, and I saw across the street this sign for Nimbus Arts.
And a fancy cow.
A fancy cow. And I said, what is that? I want to be involved in that. And so I got introduced to the wonderful Jamie Graff, our executive director. And she's just amazing. She just brought me on, and I've only been there for 4 months, so I'm learning a lot.
diving in fast.
Yeah, very fast. But it, yeah, it definitely feels longer. Like everybody seems to have become kind of family to me. They're all just amazing people to work with. So I'm very fortunate.
Well, it's definitely community based. So are there a lot of different kids programs throughout the summer? And also are there kids programs throughout the year?
Yeah, most definitely. So we have programs for all ages. We offer a wide variety of art classes in a huge range of subjects, such as ceramics, mosaics, painting, glass fusing, metal arts, and just so much more. In the summer, we have kids summer camps, such as Sticks and Stones and Dino Bones, Sculpture Camp, and right now we're in the middle of our Farm Fresh Camp, which Anne will tell you a little bit more about later on.
Yes, I know, Farm Fresh Camp.
Yeah. in my experience with art programs, Nimbus Arts really stands out to me because it offers opportunities for all ages. And our students aren't really just making cool things, but they are using their imaginations and thinking critically and creatively to problem solve while learning about science and history and ultimately how to transfer these skills into applicable real world situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I always find it's very interesting to see the collaborative process as well between the kids as they're doing a project.
Definitely. So a lot of social skills being developed.
So are you and Nimbus involved with schools in St. Helena? And if so, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Definitely, yeah. We're involved in schools in St. Helena and throughout the Napa Valley. So we've been providing art activities and art enrichment education in local schools really since the founding of the organization. We deliver interdisciplinary arts programming for all ages, all taught by working artists, which is really cool. So some of our ongoing opportunities include our Court and Community Schools program, which is produced in conjunction with the Napa County Office of Education. The program serves middle school through high school students who've been truant or expelled from schools or are in the juvenile justice system. So Nimbus Arts provides new outlets for self-expression and introduces art skills and trade training to help develop skills for job and career options. And we were actually just rewarded a second grant of $44,807 through the California Arts Council.
All right.
So we're super excited to expand and improve that program.
Got it.
We're also doing the CLIF environmental studies in the classroom. So with the CLIF Bar Family Foundation, their ongoing support provides an opportunity for Nimbus to get into elementary school classrooms and provide conservation education projects. So we do these really cool dynamic projects all about sustainable agriculture, improving water and river health, and conservation of endangered species. So definitely have to pick Amanda's brain and see what we can do.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
it's a full circle, situation here this morning.
And then a major highlight of our fall season is actually an annual Dia de los Muertos celebration, which is great. We provide cultural education and altar making instructions to middle school and high school students in Calistoga and St. Helena. And then we have their wonderful altars that they created at our community Dia de los Muertos celebration.
Super fun. So you guys do a lot of road shows.
Yes. Always on the road.
So are there any other upcoming programs in the community and at the studio?
Yes. So we always have something upcoming. So I really encourage everyone to visit our website, nimbusarts.org, to see the latest information on our calendar. But some noteworthy things that are coming up. We are hosting a lecture in September featuring Tara McDowell and the launching of her book, The Householders, which will be a really cool event. And then Saturday, October 26th, we're having a Halloween craft night, which is fun for all ages. November 2nd is our Dia celebration, Dia de los Muertos. And then on the 16th and 17th of November, we're having an open house celebration. So we're inviting everybody to come in and just kind of see what we're doing.
Fun.
We're going to be selling some things to support the organization. And then an important save the date, NIMBASH 2020, our biggest fundraising event of the year, a wonderful arty party.
I love that.
It's going to be May 9th next year, 2020. So mark your calendars. And then not to mention all of our ongoing classes that are just continually going on. It's wonderful. We have open studio clay opportunities, life drawing classes, paint and sip nights if you want to get together with your friends. So there's just so much going on all the time. So definitely visit nimbusarts.org.
And people can get more information if they are at the farmer's market when you're here on the third Friday, of next month. You guys have information there as well, but definitely touch base with them. And there's so many fabulous things going on. So we're just going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to speak with Anne Pentland from Nimbus Arts. Welcome back. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour on KVON's 1440 AM radio, brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmer's Market today. You can also stream the show live at KVON.com. We have been chatting with some fabulous guests this morning. We have educational chat with Amanda Griffiths from the environmental resource specialist from Napa County. I was just talking with Aaron Arnstein from Nimbus Arts, and now we have the pleasure to speak with Anne Pentland, who is an artist teacher and program director at Nimbus Arts. So it was really fabulous to hear from Erin as far as what she's been doing with the program. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself as an artist, as a working artist, and as the program manager at Nimbus Arts?
Sure. Thank you so much for having us today. Like Erin, when I was young, I was always drawing all the time, drawing on my desk during school. And And I love to share that same passion for drawing and painting and sculpting with the children that I work with today at Nimbus, mm-hmm. because it just brings them alive. Myself, primarily, I'm a painter, I'd say, oil, acrylic, watercolor. And I do some hand building with ceramics. But I teach all of these various media at Nimbus with all age groups, adult, children through adult. And as program manager, that means I help create the programs that we do, the classes, the various projects that we do for the camps.
Mm-hmm. So in studio and out of studio?
Right.
I mean, you guys are so involved in the community, and so I'm sure that keeps you fairly busy and that and nimble and interested in, you know, creating new art. So how did you become involved in the program, and when did you join the team?
Jamie Graff, our director, found me. I was teaching an after-school art program up in Calistoga. I ran the art program in the Calistoga Elementary School for 10 years at that time when my son was young,
right.
Some years ago. And she brought her children to the class and was impressed with what we were doing and said, I'm starting this new community art center, and I'd like to pull you in. And so she did. That was back in 2007, so 12 years ago.
I've been
there 12 years.
Been there a while, and you guys have really done so many things. So can you give us a little bit about the history? Obviously, it's been
of
you know,
Nimbus.
Family.
Yeah, Nimbus was founded in 2005 by Dana Johnson, and she and her husband lived in New York, and she had an experience when one of her children was young and was ill in the hospital. The hospital there had this lovely room filled with media, art supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And there was somebody there in the room that would help guide. And the families would come as people were convalescing, all different ages. And she found it to be such a lovely experience. She thought, wow, wouldn't this be something to be able to offer to a community?
Right.
A place where people can gather. Because as your hands and your mind are busy with art making, you also have a way of connecting with people mm-hmm. through that process.
Yeah.
That's really special, really unique.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what ended up happening. She and her husband moved here, and they founded Nimbus Arts, and here we are all these years later.
All these years later, and very, very, very many studios more and and programs programs later. So how has, speaking of that, I mean, I'm assuming it started as a fairly small, and kind of can you give us a little bit about how it's evolved over the years?
Yeah, so originally Dana, as the founder, was behind supporting the whole process, but as it grew, she decided this needed to become a gift to the community and owned by the community. So she applied for the 501(c)(3) mm-hmm. how do you call?
Nonprofit.
Nonprofit mm-hmm. status. Yep. And so we got that, I think, in 2009 or 10, thereabouts, and had a board come in and
right.
help guide our direction. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a nonprofit community arts center for probably about 10 years
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's so important having arts in the community. Can you expand a little bit about this and tell us about the Nimbus Arts community involvement and a little bit about the Hundreds of Hands Project?
Oh, yes. So part of our goal as an art center, besides nurturing creativity and fostering curiosity, is to gather people, to create a sense of community. And so the Hundreds of Hands program was founded some years ago as a way to do this. So it's outreach into the community. And our first one, we tend to use mosaics when we do these Hundreds of mm-hmm. Hands. And I can explain why in a moment. But our first project was the Mariposa mural, which is on the Cope Family Center. Mm-hmm. The wall, two walls, actually, about 12 foot high, 6 foot wide. Times two.
And it's a mosaic?
It's a mosaic, and it was done in collaboration with the Mariposa group,
Got
which
it.
Is a group of young women that were helping with children in the schools that had various family issues, mm-hmm. Helping to support them. So we taught those girls how to do the mosaic process, mm-hmm. and then they would go out into the community, into the schools, and help children build. So it truly was hundreds of people making hundreds of butterflies on this mural.
And so neat.
We have discovered a process, we call it the double indirect method, where it sounds very complex.
Double indirect.
But the truth is, it's very lovely because it allows all kinds of people to have access to mosaic making, because you're not dealing with cements and thin sets and any of that. Mm-hmm. You simply have the array of beautiful glass in front of you. Mm-hmm. We generally use glass, you could use ceramic, of course. Mm-hmm. And we teach people how to nip it, and we give them generally templates, and mm-hmm. they can follow and create. And anyone, even without any artistic experience, can really enjoy the process of creating something beautiful that becomes part of a bigger whole, a bigger mural.
So it's a bunch of people sitting around a table. Instead of knitting, they're creating
exactly.
mosaics.
Exactly.
It's the mosaic circle.
Exactly. And actually, there is brain research. We've had Dr. Claire Barnett come down from Seattle. There is research that shows that it actually really does help with calming people,
yeah.
with social connection, all levels of
just
healing.
Sitting around a table, very meditative, but also beautiful colors and just the process of doing something together with
exactly.
somebody across the table.
So the Mariposa mural was our first Hundreds of Hands project, and after that one, I think 2 years later, we did the dragon mosaic bench over at the St. Helena Elementary School. It's on the corner of, is it Adams and Oak, I think, or is that right?
Yeah.
And it's outdoors, it's 18-foot diameter circle.
Oh my goodness.
And again, we had children and adults together building all the parts and pieces that make this long, beautiful
oh, how cool.
dragon floating in a blue sky background.
Oh, how fun.
So that was our second one, and now we're working on our portico project, which
right.
is
right, that's right.
In conjunction with the St. Helena Hospital and the St. Helena Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're
uh-huh.
working together and building these lovely medallions, colorful medallions in glass. Mm-hmm. Again, people work at the table and build the pieces, and
right.
then we knit them together, and they're going to go on a big form, like a portico, like a portal.
Mm-hmm.
The imagery is the idea of coming through. It happened after the fires that
yeah.
this was created, that we had gone through something terrifying and challenging, and that we can now go through a doorway and see a new path.
Right.
So that's the idea of the portal, the portico. And so it's metal faced, and then the mosaic is inset within the metal. So they'll be very beautiful. We're hoping to make several of them and place them in the community
oh, good.
At various places
right.
in the park. And,
fantastic.
Yeah.
I love the process and product and the idea of it's all tied together. So so tell us a little bit about what some of the things that you've learned, both as an artist and kind of a fellow human while teaching at Nimbus Arts.
I just love so much working with all age groups through art, because art is communication. So here on the radio, we're using our voices. A book author would use the written word, and artists use the language of art. They use color and line, texture, composition, and they compose those things, and they speak. And for myself personally, because I'm passionate about wildlife and about the environment and those causes, that's generally what I paint about. But I teach children as well that as they're making their drawing or their painting or their sculpture, that they're creating something that communicates their connection to the world. Because ultimately, our artworks are a little piece of us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just the and the visual translation and the whole process.
Yeah.
So as a nonprofit organization, I know that you're always looking for involvement from the community to keep your program alive and thriving. And can you tell the audience a little bit about how they can become engaged and involved and lend support throughout the year and perhaps at your annual NIMBASH that we just heard about?
Absolutely, and we depend entirely on volunteer groups, hordes, to help us put on our big NIMBASH fundraiser. But we have all kinds of things throughout the year, including the Dia de los Muertos in November. We love to have volunteer support, and you can find out more through our website at nimbusarts.org, and you can contact us that way or give us a call at our office in St. Helena. And we love to have volunteer support. We always are looking also for new artists, teaching
staff as
well.
Artists,
people want
to
get involved in that way.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, there are lots of ways to get involved with NIMBUS.
Yes, sure. Fabulous. Well, yeah, definitely check out the website. Come see the program at the farmers market. Fingers crossed that we'll be able to offer this again next season. We'll see about that, but it's been really special, and we'll have one more before the end of the season. And it has been such a pleasure to work with you guys and to hear about the program and something that's very close to my heart. I was an art major, and it's really very, very important to engage people of all ages in the artistic process. I think it really makes a big difference in everyone's lives. So thank you guys so much for coming and speaking a little bit about this. You've been listening to the Farmers Fresh Hour on KVON, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. It's been really a pleasure to host this morning. We hope that everybody can join us tomorrow at the St. Helena Farmers Market, located in beautiful Crane Park, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m., May through October. So come on down before we close. I must mention that tomorrow, August 23rd, we'll have a fantastic chef demonstration. Charlie Appel from the restaurant at Meadowood and Dave Galoli from Charter Oak will be there together. So demo not to miss. I'm sure the samples will be delicious. We'll have a wide selection of beautiful produce and flowers, delicious prepared foods, and some irresistible items from our artists and vendors. So if you want to keep up to date with market happenings, we encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter. You can find that at St. Helena Farmers Market. You can follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. Wendy Strawn, our board president, will be back on September 5th with more market happenings and more fabulous guests from our market and community. Thank you so much for our wonderful guests and our listeners. This has been a fantastic Farmers Fresh Hour. Thank you, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. We'll talk to you next time.